إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, first and foremost on this blessed day, of this blessed hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and forever to shower His barakah and His acceptance and His forgiveness and His mercy upon each and every one of us here today. Allahumma ameen. Secondly, ayyuhal ahbab, for our brothers and sisters around the world that continue to suffer, that continue to go through pain after pain in whatever struggle they may be coping with, we ask Allah azza wa jal to shower His ease and His comfort upon each and every one of them. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, on that note, I think it's also important that all of you, and I'm sure many of you are aware, that our principal of the Islamic Institute of the IIT Academy, Brother Yusuf, many of you know him, many of you see him. He is one of the most hardest working individuals here in the building. His wife has been coping with a sickness for some time, and it is something that he and the wife are constantly trying to do their best to cope with and find healing and find shifa and cure. And I have some good news, alhamdulillah, that there is a recovery process in place, alhamdulillah, for his wife. But nevertheless, we as a community, the one thing that we can offer at this blessed day, of this blessed hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah, for his wife, for all of us, is that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His shifa and His cure to his wife and to all of us here today, to any one of us who are struggling in some way, shape or form. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it easy for all of us. Allahumma ameen. Brother Yusuf, lahu haqq. He has a right, and so we give him that right. And so may Allah Azza wa Jal give him strength in this very difficult time. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, for the parents that are here today, I'm going to ask you very kindly if you would pardon me today. This is a very unique opportunity. It's a very unique gathering today because, as you all know, we are in spring break. And we have a lot of young people here today. And it is only befitting that such a rare opportunity we have to have so many students and young people in one place, especially in the house of Allah, that today I want to dedicate my khutbah for them. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you the adults, the mothers and the fathers that are here today, inshallah, you, I hope and I pray that you will also find benefit in today's message. But it is especially geared towards our youngsters and our students today. So I hope you bear with me, inshallah ta'ala. What I have done today is I have selected two verses from Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid. And so for all the students that are here today, you need to listen to this very carefully. You need to listen to this very carefully because the subject of these two verses are all related to the things that distract you in worldly life. This is our topic today. The things that distract you in dunya life. You can't talk about a topic like that unless we're going to eventually talk about social media. We're going to talk about peers and friends. We're going to talk about your relationship between yourself, your parents, those around you, but especially, more importantly, the relationship you have with your Creator. These are just some of these sub-points that we're going to address today in these two verses. So I'd like to begin by sharing with you what these two verses are. And with that being said, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Here's just a bird's eye view of the translation of this beautiful verse. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, you had better know. إعلموا comes from the word ilm or alima, which means to learn. But it's in a command form in this ayah. So it's like Allah saying to us, attention all of you, especially believers, youngsters, the elderly, as long as you have an ounce of comprehension in you, attention. You had better know, and you really need to pay attention and realize, here's Allah's message. That's how the conversation starts. That's how the command starts. Then Allah says, this worldly life amounts to nothing more. This worldly life amounts to nothing more. Now follow me. Because what this ayah is going to do is that it's going to give you a series of phrases or terminology. And each terminology addresses a certain part of our lives. When we were children to when we are mature adults. So Allah says, this worldly life amounts to nothing more than, number one, la'ib, playing. This obviously refers to young children and babies. A child, the most important thing that they're engrossed with the most is just playing, having fun, games, toys. Those are the things that are important at that stage. So that's number one. Then the second thing that Allah mentions is lahun. Entertainment. Lahu literally means entertainment. So as the child continues to grow and he or she gets a little older, now the things that are important to them are entertainment. Maybe for some it's music, it's songs, it's movies, it's cartoons. They probably would get introduced to like an iPad or an Android device. So they'll start becoming familiar with like YouTube and other different applications. So that's lahu. Then as the child continues to grow a little bit older, then Allah Azza wa Jal talks about wazina. Zina, this is all about your appearance. This is the self-conscious image. So as this child grows older, now they're in those teenage years, it's all about the looks, the body, how others perceive you. Some of you, the students, you probably have this habit. When you go to the mall, every time you see a mirror, you gotta check yourself out, you gotta fix your hair, you gotta look at your shoes, you gotta tie your hijab a different way. You get obsessed to the point where every little nook and cranny is important in how you appear, how you dress, the colors, the clothing that you choose to wear. And as the child continues, or the teenager continues to grow, then Allah mentions another stage. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ تَفَاخُر literally takes this concept of being obsessed with the image one step further. So now it's not just about you. Now it goes on to showing others what you have. So here you, this is the stage where you might have graduated from high school. You've got a scholarship, you've got the degrees, you've got car, you've got money, you've got your first job. You're able to develop some sense of independence. And then the final stage that is mentioned in this ayah, وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Then, when all of this fades away, this is for all of us now. This is the point where we have gone through all of these different stages. And we get to the final stage. This is where all of us as parents are most concerned about. This is where we're concerned about now bills. We need to find stability. We need to ensure that we can pay for our children's education. This is two things that are always on parents' minds. Kids and money. They're always worried about their children. The choices that they'll make. The friends that they're going to be around. And then the money aspect of it. Stability. Putting aside savings, but at the same token, being able to provide and give your home and your children the things that they need. Now that's the imagery that Allah mentions in this ayah. We haven't actually started the topic. This is just the introduction. So this is the imagery that Allah gives you and I in this verse. So students, pay attention. Because how this verse ends is really what captures the ultimate or the core message of the ayah. The way that this verse ends now, listen to what Allah continues and He tells us. All of these things that we just went through, all of this amounts to the example of perfect rain. The Quran calls rain that happens at the right time, it's called ghaythun. It's the rain when you're hoping for it, it happens. So this is a starting, but this is the comparison Allah will give. So keep in mind those categories. Now Allah is going to compare it to something. What does He compare it to, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ghaythun. All of these things are like the perfect rain that impresses farmers. The farmer, when they plant a seed in the ground, they don't know what is going to be the outcome of this seed after a year or two. They don't know. So they plant the seed, they nurture it, they care for it, but they don't know what the fruits of that seed will eventually be or become. They don't know if they themselves will even benefit from it. The reason, or one of the wisdoms why Allah gives you that comparison, is for us parents to think about our children. You know, you have this child, or you have your children. From when they were babies, what did you do? You nurtured them. You cared for them. You gave them all of the things that you could, so that they would be happy and stable, and feel a sense of pride and independence. You encouraged your children. But the scariest part about raising kids is you don't know and you don't have any guarantee of what their future will be. You don't know that eventually when you allow this child and you say to the child, okay, you're going to start college or university now. So you don't need to really keep up with your chores. You don't really need to do this and that. You're a grown adult. Go ahead. Figure out life. Ask questions. Discover. Be independent. On the one hand, it's something that all of us as parents, we must do to some degree. Even our messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, did this with companions. He'd teach them for a certain period. Then he'd give them certain jobs around Medina and even send them across to other cities. And that would be the end. He would say, okay, you are now an ambassador of the Quran. Your responsibility is to teach this group, to carry the message and follow through. So he would have a certain limitations in terms of that training. So we as parents do something very similar. So on the one hand, it's great, but on the flip side of that, it can be quite frightening and scary. And the parents who have kids, you know exactly what that feels like. It can be a scary thing at one point where you let your children go and they have to discover and ask questions. Sometimes they will ask the right questions. But sometimes, and it's happening more and more in these days, is that sometimes they may get caught up in certain subjects, questions, that they themselves become very confused with their own identities. Dad, you used to send me to Sunday school. And that teacher used to tell me about Allah, Allah, Allah. But in my anthropology class, In my class about evolution or the purpose of life, when the teacher's talking, he actually mentioned there is no such thing as God. It's just a concept or something that somebody made up. Dad, I'm confused. Talk to me. This is where things now become very difficult. Dad, I have to pray 5 times a day? I've got to put that scarf on my head? Really? Why do I have to do that? Doesn't Allah just appreciate or love what's in my heart? So can I just act, dress, look the way I want to look? Mom, say something. Why do I have to be this way? This ayah puts things into perspective. Parents, it will help you. It will guide you through this. Students, when you get those kinds of questions, when you get confused, these are some of the verses that will help bring all of that into perspective, help you make sense of all of that. You see, one of our dilemmas as Muslims, as a culture, is we often lose sight of how crucial Quran is in our day-to-day lives. Some of us may be guilty of reserving Quran for a certain time and place. That's not what the book is for. Students, that's not what Quran is for. This book came to serve not just you as Muslims, but it came to serve all of humanity. The only way it can do that is that it has to have the answers and the direction for every dilemma and problem out there. The Quran has to be able to respond to that. And it does. The bankruptcy in that journey is not with the Quran, it's with us. Our relationship with Allah's book, our connection, our commitment with this book is the thing that constantly needs to be worked on. You have to constantly battle with that. You have to constantly sustain a relationship with Allah's book. The next ayah is going to tell you how to do that. So now coming to this farmer, the farmer now sees that the plant is growing. It's starting to harvest fruits. But what does Allah say the farmer did? What did they end up doing? So when they planted the trees, then it matures and turns yellow. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا. The plant matured, then it started to discolor. You know what was supposed to happen? That farmer was supposed to harvest this plant. But they didn't. They kind of overlooked it or ignored it. And the reason what, and as a result, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا, then it became worthless to the farmer. So in other words, the farmer invested all of this time to grow this tree or this plant. When the tree or the plant finally grew and matured, it was time to benefit from it. It was time to pick its fruits. But for whatever reason, the farmer got distracted. One tafsir mentions that the distraction the farmer got into is he saw his neighbor's farms. And he looked at the trees that the neighbors had and that they planted. And he's thinking to himself, wait a minute, I planted the same time that they did, but their garden is so luscious and green, and look at mine. So what ends up happening is he ignored it. It started to discolor, it overripe, and it wasn't good anymore. He couldn't use it anymore. And as a result, the farmer became dissatisfied. Discontented. He wasn't grateful for what Allah gave him. Students, how does it feel when you get your first Android? Okay, or your first iPhone. And you look at this iPhone, and when you first get it, you get the cover, the screen protector. You get the most expensive protective wear possible. And you take care of this phone, you take care of this iPad. But then after a year or so, the new model comes out. So then the same gadget that you used to like have a nice separate cushion for, it would never touch the counter, you'd take care of it, you'd shine it every day, all day. You'd just come home and dump it on your bed. The screen would get cracked and be like, oh, whatever, what can I do? It'll get scratches, it'll fall on the ground. Dad, I need a new one. Mom, look, my phone is all messed up. This ayah is telling you that when you get caught up in being dissatisfied with what Allah has given you, listen to what Allah says. This is not my words. This is the ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان. Allah says to you, oh really? You're going to be dissatisfied? You're going to complain? You've got this amazing device. You've got great parents. You've got a good support system around you. And you're still complaining? Well, students and everyone at large, pay attention. There's two things Allah wants to say to you now. Number one, His punishment is severe. Just follow the ayah for a minute. Number one, Allah's punishment is severe. And number two, but His maghfirah, His forgiveness is also endless, and His acceptance, wa ridwan, His acceptance of you is also great. What did Allah do? Allah reminded you of where your priorities should be. That's the message of the ayah. So what Allah is saying to you, slow down. Don't get distracted over this stuff. Think about when you buy like a brand new car. You enjoy it, you care it for the first 3-4 years until the new model comes out and you're like, gosh, I hate my car. I want the other one now. Allah is saying to you, slow down. Don't do that. Don't get distracted now. The two things that you should constantly be thinking about is, understand that Allah is severe in punishment. But more so, Allah loves to forgive. Do you know why forgiveness is so crucial in this verse? Because at every stage that we went through, in the beginning of this khutbah, we will make a lot of mistakes. Young people, they will make a lot of mistakes. Adults, we will make a lot of mistakes. Allah constantly reminds you and I, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And that is why, at the end of this verse, Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life, if not by means of which people get deceived. In other words, this worldly life is just a place where people get very distracted and deceived. You know what matar al-ghurur is? Matar al-ghurur is a phrase that's used to look at something that is very useful, but you don't depend on it. So like a spoon or a fork. You're not going to say, mashallah, this is my beloved spoon. When you have a utensil in your hand, it's useful, it's important, but you don't depend on it. Once it breaks or you're done with it, you throw it away and you go on to the next. That's what Allah says this worldly life is. Don't get too attached to it. Don't cling on to it. So when you see all of these distractions of gadgets and other things, Allah is saying to you, especially young people, you really need to hear this. Don't get caught up with that stuff. Because that stuff is going to go away, but there's one thing that will always remain. It's your relationship with your master. Now, that's the imagery. So listen to how now, and this is the second verse that I want to leave you with, bi-idhnillah, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a solution through all of this. This is perhaps one of the most beautiful verses in the Qur'an, in where Allah azza wa jal tells us, سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. For my brothers and sisters, all of us here today, Allah tells us, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةً. سَابِقُوا, from the word مُسَابَقَة, it means to race. When you see a race or an Olympic sprint happening, it's called a مُسَابَقَة. You know what Allah's message to all of us here today? In this khutbah, all of us race towards Allah's forgiveness. Surah Ali Imran, very similar verse. Allah said in that surah, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةً. Surah means you all just hurry up. Surah, hurry up. There's a sense of urgency in this ayah. Why? Why is Allah talking to us this way? Allah is telling you and I, يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, O my slaves, listen up. Stop what you're doing. Don't get distracted about anything. Listen very carefully. All of you get together and compete for my forgiveness. Get to it as quickly as possible. Why is there that sense of urgency? Scholars, they tell us a number of reasons. I'm only going to share two of them with you. Number one, forgiveness humbles you. You know, when you know at the end of the day that you have to submit to a creator and you don't have control even over yourself, when you create that bond and that relationship between you and your creator and you constantly have to go to him and seek forgiveness because each and every day human enterprise is subject to mistake, that should humble you. It should make you feel as though you yourself, you have control over nothing. Oh Allah, I'm depending on you. That's the first reason. And secondly, students, we have no idea when we will leave this earth. If there's one message that should always make sense to you at this stage of your life, it should be the message of death. You know, I understand that certain philosophies and theories and subjects might bore you. You know, you might come to certain khutbahs and lectures and you're just like, gosh, I can't wait till he finishes. But then when you hear the topic of death and that how this world will come to an end, how we don't have control over our lives, we don't know when we're going to leave. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. You don't even know what spot you're going to be standing on when death approaches you. You know, أَرْضٌ, when Allah says you don't know what spot you're going to be standing on, that's like saying you could be standing in front of your locker, but you don't even know that in front of that locker is where you're going to drop to your death. So now the locker becomes a khutbah to you. It starts reminding you, hey, watch out, because you could die right in front of me. You see, if you internalize that kind of message, you don't take anything for granted anymore. You'll love your parents even more, and they'll love you. You'll respect people around you even more, and they'll respect you. Your priorities will always be intact. You'll look at all of these game consoles and your Androids and your devices and your friends. You'll look at all of this stuff and you're like, none of this stuff is really that important to me. What's important to me is people. What's important to me is my relationship with others. It's respecting others. But the number one priority is, oh Allah, you could take me at any moment. I need your forgiveness. And then the ayah continues. Allah talks to you about Jannah and He says that the Jannah, the expanse of Jannah is like the expanse of the skies and the earth. In other words, this is Quran's way of saying, Jannah is so massive that if you were to take the distance between this earth and Jannah itself, where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us that between each level of paradise is the distance of traveling 500 years. If you take all of that and you put it together, it will not be able to give you a perspective of understanding how massive Jannah is. It still wouldn't be enough. And Allah is telling you and I about Jannah. Why? Because if you prioritize your life and you really focus on His forgiveness, Jannah is yours, inshaAllah. Ya Rabbi, we ask you for Jannah. Ya Rabbi, we ask you to protect our sons and our daughters. Ya Rabbi, you gave us one chance in this world. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, we are humans and we are subject to error and mistake. Ya Rabbi, you are the ultimately forgiving one. You are the ultimately merciful one. Ya Rabbi, shower your forgiveness and your mercy upon each and every one of us. Allahumma ameen. We will conclude this message in the second part of the khutbah. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. When all is said and done, Allah Azza wa Jal says, this Jannah, because you clung to me for forgiveness, not only do you get Jannah, but you also أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِي. It's especially for the people who had faith in Allah and had faith in the message of all the prophets and messengers that came. They had faith. They trusted it. You know, that's a difficult thing to do today. And adults, if you don't see that or you don't understand it, talk to students. They'll tell you one of the most difficult things for them to hold on today is La ilaha illallah. It's hard. Why? Because they are constantly put in an environment, in a situation where their iman is pushed to the limit. And they have to deal with that every single day, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, constantly being pushed to its limit. But for the special student, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make all of our students amongst them, the special student is the one that will trust their faith in Allah. Oh Allah, you put me in this situation, I trust you. Oh Allah, our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was the example, and I trust him too. For them, they will have this paradise. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ Allah Azza wa Jal says, that's the blessing that Allah gives whoever He wants. And Allah's blessing and honor, it's azim, it's exceptional. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to continue to shower His barakah on each and every one of us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect our sons and our daughters. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect our sons and our daughters from the fitna of this world. Allahumma ameen. Ya Rabbi, we ask you to honor our mothers and our fathers. Bless them and honor them and give them the strength and the health so that they continue to share their experience and their knowledge and their protection to their sons and their daughters. Ya Rabbi, give strength to our parents. Make them firm in their deen. Make them love the Qur'an and the sunnah of our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. For if they love these two things, then Ya Rabbi, with your permission, allow their children to also love it from them. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, this is the message that I leave you with today. Students, you're probably back to school on Monday. Take this message. Let this book walk with you. This message of these two verses, at least let that walk with you when you start school again. We don't have time in this world. And if you still don't believe that, all you got to do is think about how many young people you might have heard of, you might have listened to, you've probably seen on the news, young children whose lives are gone. And it wasn't because they did the wrong thing. For whatever reason, Allah took them from this world when they were 5 years old, when they were teenagers, when they were just about to start college and university, Allah took their lives. So you don't have enough time to sit there and just be distracted with other things. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase your faith and protect La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts and in your lives. Allahumma ameen. And with that being said, we send peace and blessings to our Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid Allahumma aghfir al-muslimina wal-muslimat wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat innaka qari قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب